Welcome to the Tri-Town Advice Givers Podcast, a podcast dedicated to bringing the Tri-Town and surrounding area residents the best advice from our brightest minds. My name is Mark Borst, your host, and today we are in the Tri-Town Advice Givers studio in St. John, Indiana, with Nick and Andrea Sanchez of Midwest Prince. All right, guys, welcome to the show. How are you doing this morning?
Pretty good.
Good. All right, why don't you go ahead and just tell me a little bit about who you guys are as individuals before we get into the business side of things.
All right, well, I'm Nick, and this is my wife, Andrea. We also have our little baby girl here, Ava. We're out of Munster. We've been there for a couple years now, been married for a couple years.
Region originally or transplants?
I'm from Tinley Park originally.
Okay.
And I work in Hammond, and I had never been past Hammond, so I met her, and now I'm starting to learn about all these different areas out here.
Okay.
I'm originally from Hammond.
Okay.
So I was raised in Hammond. I'm a Morton High School graduate.
Okay. Okay. Cool. All right. So let's just go ahead and jump into Midwest Prince. How long have you guys been doing it? And what was the big driving factor that you guys, why you started it?
Well, we wanted to find an option for my wife to stay at home from work. That was kind of the big ticket item. We had been married for maybe 5 or 6 months at that point. We knew eventually we wanted to have kids, and my wife wanted to stay at home. So we actually started with an athletic apparel line. We started that back in, maybe March?
Yeah, about March of last year.
March of last year.
Of 2016?
2016, yeah.
Okay.
And that did okay. We had some following. We had a few athletes signed up with us, but it wasn't really extremely successful, I guess you can say.
Yeah.
So we were printing everything in-house. We had bought all the equipment, so we were doing all that. And a buddy of mine owned an ice cream shop, and he's like, hey, can you make me some t-shirts?
Okay.
And that business referred to another business, and then that referred to church, and then schools, and so on and so forth. So we're like, hey, why don't we just print for businesses?
Okay.
So we did that in September. So we completely rebranded ourselves, changed the name, changed the website. And that's what we've been doing ever since September.
Cool.
So not even a year now that we've been doing Midwest Prince.
That's awesome. That's an awesome way to jumpstart. So the athletic apparel completely done? Not doing it at all anymore? Or?
So we still have a ton of apparel printed. We have blender
shaker
bottles.
Cups, yeah.
We have yoga pants. We have a ton of stuff already printed with the logo on there. So we still have it in the house, and I've told my other business partners that, hey, maybe down the line we'll revisit it, bring someone on board that can completely focus on that. But right now we're so focused on Midwest Prince, and it just keeps us extremely busy that we just don't have the time to really push that the way we'd want to.
Okay. And you guys are both working outside other jobs, or just you?
As of right now, yes. My wife's last day of work was...
Actually, last Saturday I resigned.
Okay.
From community hospital. I had been there for 4 years. I was actually working across the street at the outpatient center.
Okay.
So now I have the opportunity to stay home with Ava and work full-time on Midwest Prince.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Cool. So it's busy enough to support that.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And you're still at a full-time job?
I'm a full-time architect for the city of Hammond.
Okay.
So I work for a private firm there. So I've been there for 6 years now, I think.
Okay. Yeah. So future plans for you to step away from that as well?
I'd still like to dabble in architecture. I mean, I love it. That's why I got into it. I've been playing with Lego since I was a kid.
Okay.
One of the biggest things I really enjoy about Midwest Prince is just working with my hands. Being in the office setting, you don't really make models and you don't get to, kind of play around.
Right.
That's one of the things I really miss of school, that you make models and just create things out of thin air. And just with the t-shirts, it's like I can see the product is tangible and you can see it being created from, conception to getting it out the door. So that's what I really enjoy about that.
Okay. Not even a year yet. So how do you guys source things? Let's start with that. So you guys buy t-shirts from somewhere else?
Correct. Yeah, we have a couple of different distributors that we get from all over the country.
Okay.
We have one main one out of right outside Chicago that they usually have everything that we need. If we don't, for instance, like Greek Life, sorority and fraternities have a very specific brand that they like using. So we outsource that from another company. Because they are very hard to come by, so
okay.
Yeah, we have, I guess, maybe for the most part, we probably order out of 3 or 4 across the country from different distributors.
So has that been a little bit of a learning curve?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, when we first started, it was just me and her. And, I mean, she was busy with work and I was busy with work. So I became the designer, the accountant, the I was ordering everything, sending out invoices. Like, I basically had to do everything by myself.
Right.
And I'm kind of a perfectionist. I have a very hard time trusting people with work. And that's one of the biggest things that I learned in this business, that I can't do it all on my own. So I had to bring in, I have a couple buddies working with me. I grew up with them. I went to high school with them. And they have skills that I don't have. And I try to learn those things. So for instance, I'm a big Gary Vee follower. He's the owner of Vanderchuk Media.
Right.
And he's got a ton of stuff on social media. And he's always pushing things out there. And I love listening to him. And one of his biggest things, he said that if you're a designer, don't try and be a salesman. You have the skills of a designer. You have the mindset of a designer. Don't try and learn the skills of a salesman. And vice versa, if you're a salesman, don't try and be a designer. You know how to push to customers, to talk to them. Don't try and be a designer. So I talked to my best friend, Steve, and he's a car salesman.
She's fine.
So he knows how to talk to clients and do all that other stuff, but he doesn't know how to design.
Right.
So that's why we're a perfect pair. And I think that's what has made Midwest Sprints as successful as it has been, because I have someone like him on board. So he can tackle things that I'm not good at or just I don't want to deal with.
That's actually awesome. You said two things there. First, entrepreneur has to wear every hat at the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which juggling is hard. But the fact that you've already figured out in under a year that you need to pass stuff off and delegate things and do relinquish that because it is hard. Mm-hmm. That's awesome that you learned that quickly.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people, it takes years for them to figure that part of it out.
Right. And I have a couple of other people. There's a couple of clients that I really enjoy working with. They have their own custom clothing lines and things like that. And they're in the same boat that I was last year, trying to do everything on their own and trying to figure, you know, sales and design and all these other things. And I've talked to them on a personal level, like, hey, just bring somebody on board to help you because it's too much. You will lose sleep. You will lose time from your family. And that's one of the biggest things. When we first started, I was probably working more than 100 hours a week. And I could see the toll. Ava was, you know, just born. So I wasn't really spending too much time with the family. And I had to remember, like, hey, when I come home, you know, I can work a couple of hours when either she's sleeping or she's at work, because we were on opposite schedules. But when I'm with them, like, it's time with them. And that's one of the biggest things that I could say to anyone starting a business is don't forget, you know, the reason why you're doing this. And my reason is them. That's what I'm doing it for.
That's cool. That's very easy to get lost in the work part of it.
Yeah, for sure.
So just go ahead and let's talk about what you guys actually do. So Midwest Prints, if a client comes in, what can they expect talking to you as far as what kind of products you guys do? Is it strictly apparel? Is it other things? And then talk about like turn times and order minimum quantities and anything like that. Go ahead and talk about it.
Well, what we started with was silk printing. So we do everything in-house in terms of printing on T-shirts, apparel, backpacks, drawstring bags, towels, you know, anything you can screen print, we do that in-house. And we actually just added vinyl printing as well.
Okay.
So for the longest time, we couldn't do small orders. With screen printing, we had a minimum of 12. So we needed a way to be able to produce things for customers that wanted custom names on the back or custom numbers, like for jerseys. Or
gotcha.
Lately, we've been doing a lot of bachelorette parties that the girls want their name on the back and the year that they've, the number of years they've known the bride.
Oh,
so
wow.
We
That's
weren't
cool.
able to do that with silk printing, but with Heath printing, we can definitely, you know, do that now. So we're able to offer that to our customers. We just got all that equipment in the house about a month ago. So that's where Drea's really taking the ball on, is doing the heat printing while I'm outside working on the silk.
Okay.
So
cool. So as far as the silk, you said minimum 12 pieces?
Yeah.
Okay. And then what kind of turn time do you normally, like if I ordered it today, when could I expect the shirts?
Guaranteed we do 7 to 10 days.
Okay.
After final artwork is approved. When a customer reaches out to us, a lot of times they don't have any artwork. And this is kind of what sets us apart from the bigger companies like Custom Inc. or Teespring, where they have preset designs on their website. A customer has to kind of change their mind on whatever they can find.
Right.
I mean, we've gotten sketches before from people that just, hey, I drew this up, and can you put this on a T-shirt?
Okay.
And obviously, that takes time. So right. Obviously, the clock won't start at that point when they reach out to us.
Sure.
You know, either myself or I have a couple other designers that I still keep in contact with from college. They're all architects as well, and I'll send them, you know, a quick message, hey, I've got a design I need created. Can you help me out? If we don't have the time to do it.
Sure.
So after going back and forth to the customer, making sure they're extremely happy with their design, again, something that they can't get from, you know, Custom Ink or Teespring or something like that, that's when the clock will start. Because, I mean, that could take weeks sometimes to make sure a client is extremely happy with their final design.
Right, the back and forth of it.
Right, yeah.
Okay. So you mentioned like backpacks, drawstring stuff. Do you have a place where I can go and look at what my choices are of the different things?
Yeah. So I think one of the biggest things that was lacking with us is the social media presence and our website. Website just went live, I believe, I want to say a month and a half ago. The big reason behind that was because all of our work was word of mouth. We really didn't need to push a social media presence. And one of the biggest things that I was scared of was that if we started really pushing that, we didn't have the capability to keep to up with all the work. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I had told everyone on the team, it's like, hey, let's just keep doing this word of mouth thing. When the work starts to slow down or become more manageable, then we'll really start pushing social media. And it hasn't got to that point.
Right. You know,
we have orders lined up out the door for the next couple months already. But I know for sure we definitely need to push the social media presence. So I try daily to just push more products that we do offer. We actually do offer promotional items as well. So we started doing banners, stickers, postcards, business cards, things like that. The turnaround time on those are a lot smaller. But again, a lot of people don't have designs. So that back and forth, again, adds right. into lead time.
So do you guys do that printing in-house too?
No, that we all outsource as of right now.
Okay.
We didn't want, a lot of people were asking us for, you know, stickers and things to brand their clothing lines. And to get that equipment, we don't have it in-house yet. That eventually down the line, we'd want to.
Okay.
But for right now, instead of turning a customer and saying, oh, sorry, we can't do it for you.
Right.
We just go ahead and outsource that.
It's hard to say no.
It is. It's really hard to basically not please a customer. That's, you know, at the end of the day, that's what we want to do. We want to make sure our customers are completely happy. We try, even though we're not that big, we really try and make sure that we can fulfill everything that they need, and just treat them like a person. You know, my brother's a teacher at a high school, and he has told me how many teachers from that school have ordered from Custom Ink and how they never get what they want. And granted, I mean, not to knock on Custom Ink, they're a great company. They, you know, do great work. But if you're not very specific on what you need,
right,
you're kind of out of luck.
And like you said, you have to fit inside their box.
Right.
So.
Yeah. So we try and go above and beyond that. There's times that, yeah, we have rules and sometimes we bend them for customers. You know, we have that 7 to 10 day turnaround time, but if someone comes up to us and says, hey, I need it in 24 hours. And that has happened. We had a sorority group come up to us. They had an event. They had a camping event on Saturday and they messaged us Tuesday. And they're like, yeah, we need them by Friday before we leave. So I called up my buddies and I was like, hey, do you think we can print this? And the first question was, well, how many shirts was it? It was 200 shirts.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And it was like four colors front and back. And it was a very complicated job. So typically we'll order everything and we'll have it shipped to the shop. And because we don't want to make the drive out there. It's like an hour and a half drive for us. So I told my buddy, okay, let me order the shirts. So I ordered the shirts and I called my rep and I was like, hey, I need these shirts like now. So she put them together for us. My buddy went to go pick them up that night, that afternoon. That night we printed all night and we had them done the following day. So within 24 hours, we got 200 shirts for a sorority job.
That's awesome.
And they have never gone anywhere else. They continuously come back to
sure.
us.
Sure. Yeah. It's. So. I mean, that's what it's about, the customer service side.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
So as far as like the shirts, if well, first of all, let's back up a little bit. Being a small business, you're paying for everything up front, or do you guys have lines of credit yet, or 30 days out, or is it really pay now, order now?
For customers or on our end?
On your end.
On our end, we pay everything up front.
Okay.
We do have access to lines of credit.
Yeah.
I really try and avoid that. For the longest time, when we had smaller equipment, we had bought everything outright.
Okay.
We didn't want to put anything on credit. But we got to the point that we have some very large equipment now that we had to get a small loan.
Okay.
But in terms of the items that we buy, all the cost of goods, t-shirts, things like that, we pay for it outright.
Okay. And do you ever have any issues with stuff that you're buying as far as the raw materials?
I mean, we've received t-shirts at times where they'll have holes in them or they're crooked or whatever. And we have very good reps where we're working with.
That's good.
So I'll just call her up and, you know, I have her direct line of contact and I was like, hey, five of these shirts were wrong or I'm missing shirts or whatever it is. And she'll overnight them to me and I'll have them the following day. So we'll typically try and print, you know, 4 or 5 days before a job is due. So we have that gap, like, hey, if anything's wrong,
you know,
I can call the rep and say, hey, I need another shirt. Or, I mean, we make mistakes too. Sometimes the shirt's crooked or, ink got on one of the shirts or it didn't cure right. And it just comes out, you know, wrong. So we give ourselves a couple days to make sure we remedy all that.
So everything for you is order on demand though. So if you don't have you don't have a big inventory sitting there.
We have some. So when we first started, we made a lot of mistakes in terms of ordering shirts before jobs were paid for.
Okay.
And then customers would just walk away. So we have a lot of back inventory that we still have sitting in the shop.
Okay.
So the biggest thing is like a lot of them are like weird colors. So we have like neon greens, purples, and pinks, and colors that no one ever orders. The blacks that we have in stock go out the door quick. Whites go out the door quick. So those standard colors, you know, we use all the time.
Right.
But yeah, we definitely don't have a lot of inventory. I think eventually it would be nice to have that. So when a customer comes in, we can do like a 1 hour print because we have so much inventory there. But yeah, if it was a 24 hour turnaround time, then we would be definitely trying to hustle ourselves to get that done because we wouldn't have any of that in stock.
Right. And how about as far as materials, the ink side of it? Is there a big market for that? Is there a lot of different inks available or is it pretty much a standard thing?
Yeah, there's a few different kinds. I mean, there's Plastisol, there's water-based, there's discharge. It just depends on the feel that the customer wants for the t-shirt. We primarily use Plastisol. It's very easy to use. It doesn't dry in the frame, whereas with water, it'll maybe last maybe an hour or two, and you have to wash out the frame again, and you know it just slows down production. But okay. It definitely has a different feel. So I'm just looking at your shirt right now, and that looks like it's a water base. It feels clean on the shirt, whereas with Plastisol, you have a little bit more thickness, but it lasts a little bit longer.
Gotcha.
So if you're going for like that distressed look, those vintage tees, water base is definitely the route to go. But a lot of people choose Plastisol just because it's so bright, it's so vibrant, it doesn't have that fade look, it'll last a little bit longer. So it just really depends on what the customer wants.
And then is that more, does it handle up to washes better too, the Plastisol?
I mean, as long as it's done correctly, as long as you print it the way it's supposed to be done, as long as you cure it at the right temperature. Curing basically just means we put the shirt to the conveyor dryer. It's at a certain temperature that it needs to hit. As long as it's not over that or under that, then it'll definitely hold up. We have t-shirts that I personally use since we started back in March of last year that they're still holding up. We have customers that we've been working with since that point, and they still tell me, hey, Nick, your shirts are still holding up. And they don't even know how.
That's good.
Yeah, so that's definitely good to hear.
Yeah. March of 2016, when you first started Athletic Apparel, what is one piece of advice you might give yourself, like looking back, and maybe it's just that you started there instead of the printing, I don't know, but like, is there something that you saw on the business side of things that you would do differently now, looking back?
I think the thing that I struggled with the most for the longest time is just being scared to do something. We bought all the equipment and it took me, a month or two before I printed my first t-shirt and the equipment was just sitting there. I watched so many videos, I read so many forums, I read the instruction manual on the press back and forth because I wanted to make sure I made the perfect first t-shirt. And I was just so scared for the longest time. And then once I printed, I was like, why did I wait so long?
Yeah, and was that the architect inside of you? Like, it had to be perfect?
I think so. I think another thing is I don't want to waste any money.
Okay.
You know, because, I mean, it costs money to make a t-shirt. And if we didn't do it correctly, and now that I think about it, I did mess up some of the material in the beginning, the frame that I scratched up. Yeah, if I can go back, and even now when we have we bought the heat press as well, for a long, it wasn't there that long, but it was there probably a week and a half before I tried to heat press one of my t-shirts. And if I can go back, and I would just tell myself, like, dude, don't be scared. Just go for it. Just try it. And if I was talking to someone who's starting their own business, I think that would definitely be, you know, some good piece of advice. It's just don't be scared. Just have more faith in yourself, have more confidence, and just go for it.
Yeah, I think the fear is crippling for everybody. But the thing that it sounds like you learned is that you're going to mess up, but if you don't make those mistakes, you're not going to learn and be able to go forward.
Right. And a lot of the mistakes that we made, we definitely learned from them. If we hadn't made those mistakes, I don't think we would have even printed a t-shirt yet.
And then actually starting the first idea in March and then already being able to realize by September that you're like going down the wrong path and being able to pivot like that. Mm-hmm. That's a huge like mistake, fear thing that some people are paralyzed. Like,
right. Well, I think one of the biggest things, we just came up with an idea. And we just said, hey, let's see if this works, instead of finding a need and filling the need. We have a lot of friends who are business owners, and they have their own restaurants or their own clothing lines or things like that. And the need was there. The demand was there. Getting into this industry, I didn't realize how many people need t-shirts. Just looking around everywhere you go, whether it's, you know, high schools that need spirit wear or a restaurant or car dealerships, wherever you go, everybody needs a t-shirt. And that was that need that needed to be filled. And I think that's why we pivoted, and that's why we became so successful, because we knew, hey, there's a market for this. They're getting them from somewhere. How can we do this better?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Successful entrepreneurship is finding a problem that needs to be solved,
right,
and solving it. So that's awesome that you were able to fall into that. So what kind of, you mentioned churches, sororities, a couple other things. What is your target market right now?
We definitely work a lot with churches and schools, I would say. We do have a Greek license. We are a licensed vendor. And that in itself was a lot of hoops to jump through. It took maybe about a month or two to get all that paperwork in. So we have worked with the Greek Life. We have a handful of clothing lines that we work with.
Are there Greek fraternity sororities here, Northwest Indiana? Or are you outside of the area?
Well, we've worked for U of I. I think we did a frat out there. And then I think one in Valpo.
Yeah, okay.
Maybe it was IUN was another one. I'd have to go back and look.
So that's another question. So definitely not limited to Northwest Indiana, though.
No, I mean, this week, actually, we are shipping out Monday. I need to ship out an order to Miami.
Cool.
It was a friend of a friend of a friend referred us, and he's a bodybuilder out there, and he's got his own clothing line, and he's actually in Pittsburgh right now. And I was going to send him out this week, and he's like, hey, you know what? I'm not in Miami right now. I'm in Pittsburgh. I'm doing a show. Just send them out on Monday when I get back. So we've done Miami. We've done a few orders to Texas, a few orders to California.
That's cool.
So we try and stay local so we can have that one-on-one. Like, I like meeting with the customer and having my sketchbook there and just, you know, kind of creating something in person. But yeah, we're definitely not limited to this area. We've shipped across the country before. So
that's cool. Yeah. That's definitely the power of social media and the internet. Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah. You mentioned Gary Vee. Is there any other book or podcast seminar that you've been to recently that you've had a big aha moment? Let's either changed how you've done business or just doubled down on something that you were already doing.
I won't say a seminar, but I'll definitely say a person. I'm a big Apple fan. I love what Steve Jobs did.
I'm not crazy on the decisions they've made lately, but I think he was just so meticulous in his details and the things that people didn't see, everything that was happening behind the scenes to make a great product. For instance, I'll talk about the iPhone 4S. I absolutely loved it. You know, Steve Jobs' reasoning behind it, it fit perfect in your hand. Your thumb could go to every corner of the screen. It was just, nobody thinks of that. Nobody thinks of this is a great product, but why is it a great product? And I think that's the architect in me that, you know, we create things, we create a space that people love to be in, but they don't know why. You know, all the windows are aligned and they match with the door frames and just the journey that a person takes from the parking lot to the front door, like all those different things. A person doesn't really realize why they enjoy doing these things or why they enjoy being in a room. You know, the architect puts thought into that. Mm-hmm. And we try and do the same thing with our designs. It's not, maybe not be as complex, but we try and do that same mentality that, hey, we're going to give you a great product and we're putting thought that you might not be putting into it.
The design element.
Correct, yeah.
And on the architecture side, when you're in a room, at least for me, I'm sure it's different for you, but you're in a room, you're in a building, everything's fine until it's off. When right. It's off is when you notice it, like, what is going on
exactly,
here?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's funny, when me and my wife first started dating, she would catch me just kind of zoning out and just looking at everything. And it's because I was examining the room. I mean, we'll go into restaurants and I'll see, you know, the rafters exposed and the decking that was used. And, you know, why is this table so close here? And like, you can't walk to the door correctly. And I haven't done it as much lately because obviously with the baby, she takes up a lot of my time. But yeah, if like you said, if something's out of balance or out of whack, people will catch it right away. So In architecture, you definitely have to be on point on everything you do, because people will definitely let you know, like, hey, this something's off, and they don't. And a lot of times, they don't know why. You know, it just doesn't work.
Right. And so, growing up, I mean, architecture is very precise, fine lines. You have to be within the rules of architecture, and it's kind of the opposite of creative design. So growing up, were you always doing both the precise and the more free creative, or did you find the free creative blossomed with this company?
I think growing up, I was definitely more stringent in my design. I really enjoy clean lines. I mean, even the way I dress or the way I, you know, do stuff at home, everything's very linear. I think my wife kind of rags on me because of that, because she wants things more fun or colorful. So with the t-shirts, I had a little bit more ability to be more creative. I mean, obviously I can't push just black t-shirts going out the door or clean squares or straight lines. Sure. So I think I was able to have a little bit more fun with my creativity ability that I didn't have when I was doing architecture or, you know, other things that I was working on before this.
So it just stretches you a bit?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah. Is it hard to see stuff go out that's not in a balance? Like, you got right side heavy, left side heavy? Is it?
There are times that we'll get customers that will ask for things that I know should not be done that way. And a lot of times I'll try and, at the end of the day, the customer is always right. So you have to give the customer what they want. I will give my opinion and say, hey, typically this is what's done. You know, your logo should be this big. It should sit here on the shirt. And we'll have people say, well, I want it this way. And it's really hard to print it that way, knowing that it's wrong. And like you said, you won't notice something's wrong until you see it. And as soon as they'll see a t-shirt, like, wow, this looks weird. Like, why does it look weird? And I'll say, I gave my opinion.
You don't like to say I told you so.
Right. You can't. But, you know, sometimes you have to deal with those kind of customers.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's probably the positive and the negative of you being able to do more custom stuff for people,
right,
versus like, this is the only place that you can either get the corner logo or the full chest logo, and that's right. It.
And we've had customers that ask for like prints on the side of the shirt and, you know, odd sizes and over the seams, and we've heard it all.
Yeah, and I'm sure that makes the screen process a lot more difficult.
It definitely does, yeah, because, I mean, if something's not standard, then we have to kind of modify what we're doing. It's funny we're talking about this now. This week, actually, We had never printed a 2T shirt before. A 2T is a two toddler. Mm. Very small shirt. We didn't even have platens that big. And I had one of my buddies with me there, and we're printing, and we're like, man, how are we going to print this shirt? And we thought maybe we'll just hold the T-shirt down with our fingers and then just try and print it that way. And it wasn't working. And we had some leftover countertop when we remodeled our kitchen. And he's like, okay, grab me the table saw. Let's cut out something really quick. So he cut out a small little platen that we were able to bolt to the press, and we were able to do this mock platen in like half an hour. And because the guy had like 32 tees, and we knew it would have taken us like 4 or 5 hours, but if we had the platen, it would have taken us 10 minutes. So as soon as we created the platen, 10 minutes, we were done with all the T-shirts.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's in anything. If you have the right tools to do it, it's a lot easier than trying to.
Right. Yeah.
So being able to actually create the tool, that's the best way to do it.
Right. Yeah.
That's cool. So outside of your day job, outside of Midwest Prints, outside the 8-month-old baby, you do anything for fun right now?
I wish I had that much free time. Right now, my schedule, I usually wake up maybe 5 or 6 in the morning, work on the business, and then head to the office around 8, come home around 5, spend time with the wife and the daughter, and then work on the business for a little bit, let them go to sleep, and then once they sleep, I work again. So I would love to have more free time, but there's only 24 hours in the day.
Hey, I tell my my kids this all the time. You work hard now. When you're older, you won't have to work as hard.
Right, yeah. I tell my wife that all the time. I was like, hey, right now it's rough because I work so much and we both work so much. But there's going to come a point that this thing's going to grow and, you know, we'll have other people on the team that could take some of this load off of us and we'll have more free time. But right now, because this is basically our baby, we need to put a lot more time into it.
So you said you have other people that are helping you out now. You're still running it. You're just kind of delegating things here and there to them. Is that right, how it is?
Yeah. Yeah. So my right-hand man, he was the best man at my wedding, Steve. I've known him since high school. We played football together. He's the car salesman. So he's the one who landed a lot of our jobs in the beginning. So he has taught me, okay, hey, this is how you talk to a person. This is how you sell to a person. All the little tricks like that. And then I've taught him the design aspect. So he just bought a computer. He got Illustrator on there. So I'm teaching him the design part so we can both be working and doing the same things. And then my other buddy, Junior, he's a head porter at a car dealership. So he knows how to delegate a shop and how to delegate other people working. So we're calling him our shop manager. So when we get to the point that we have to hire more printers, like he knows, like he's the one who created the platen. He knows how to work the press really well. He knows how to print really well. So when it gets to that point that we do grow, I mean, he's basically gonna take care of the shop. And then I have Steve taking care of the sales. And then I'll take care of, you know, all the admin or design work and things like that.
Cool.
So, and again, that was one of the biggest things, like, hey, I need people that know what to do, know how to do it right.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I'm very, very strict on what goes out the door. I want to make sure we, you know, push out a good product. And if something's wrong, I'll definitely call them out. And it's like, hey, you guys got to be more careful. We got to do this. We got to do that. Like, there's nothing we can do. We got to order more shirts because we can't push this out to a customer and have them complain. So,
right. That's good. Yeah, the customer service side definitely is the longevity of any company.
Right, yeah.
Very cool. So is there anything that I didn't ask that you want to touch on, share with people?
I guess just to reiterate, don't try and do it all on your own. I had this conversation with someone this week, the exact same conversation I had with multiple business owners and entrepreneurs, is you're one person. I understand that at least from my experience, a lot of the entrepreneurs that I've spoken to are perfectionists as well. And they want to make sure that they do everything correct and they don't want to lose any money. And they're just scared to, I guess, pull the trigger on some things. Like, hey, whether it's your wife, girlfriend, sibling, whoever it may be, just bring someone on board that can help you because you will go crazy. I think it was Monday or Tuesday. I hadn't slept more than 5 hours in the past year. And I knocked out. It was like 8 o'clock. I slept till like 9 or something like that. It was something ridiculous. And I woke up with so much energy. Like I was ready to tackle that day.
And I felt like a brand new man.
I did. I felt like a brand new man. And it was crazy because, you know, my biggest thing is, and I think this is the architect in me, when you're in school, especially architecture school. I'm sure a lot of other professions are the same way, but I mean, we were running on 2 or 3 hours of sleep to meet deadlines. We had some crazy drawings to do or models. I remember my senior year, I was up for 5 days straight to meet a deadline. And I remember that final day, like I crashed during my presentation, and luckily it was a mock-up presentation, and you know, we had another opportunity to do it again. But yeah, I think for the longest time I ran on very little sleep, because to me, it's either sleep those extra 3 hours or get work done. And it can't always be like that, because you'll end up crashing. She would catch me crashing the couch for like 10 minutes, and those power naps is all I would need. And I was running on power naps for the past year.
Yeah.
And that was definitely not good.
No, it definitely catches up with you.
Oh, for sure.
And the older I get, the more I need to sleep that I found. Like, right. You can't go as long at night if you're repeatedly, repetitively doing it over and over and over right. again.
And it worked well when she was born, because she was on a very limited sleep schedule. It worked great for me, because I was up till 2 o'clock in the morning with her, giving her, attention. She would be on my arm or whatever, and I'd be working. And then we'd switch off. I'd get some sleep, and my wife would be with the baby. And then I'd wake up again at 4 or 5 in the morning, again would be with the baby, and keep working.
Yeah.
So I was like, hey, this is perfect. Like, I don't care if you only sleep 2 or 3 hours a night, because I can keep working, and I have a reason to stay up. But now she sleeps 10 hours, so I should probably get on her schedule.
10 hours for 8-month-old, that's awesome. Yeah. All right, cool. So just to wrap up, what's the best way to get a hold of you? You said social a few times.
Yeah, so our social media, like I said, we try and push a new product item every single day. We try and push all the jobs that we do on there. Typically, we'll respond within an hour. I don't think we take longer than that. There's a bunch of us on the page that we can all respond to it. So our Facebook page is facebook.com/MidwestPrints. Our website is mwprints.com. And you can find all of our phone numbers there, our contact information via email. But I think the best method is Facebook, because you can see, again, all of our work that we've done on there. And we respond pretty quick to those messages. So
cool. So can I order through Facebook too, or reach out to you guys first and then order?
Yeah, you can reach out to us, and somebody will talk to you about your job and see what you need. If we have stuff in stock, how long it would take. If you have an easy design, we can get to you really quick. If it's a little bit more complicated, then obviously we have to pair you with one of the designers to finalize your print. And then we go from there.
Cool. Awesome. Thanks for coming in, guys.
Sure. Thanks for having us.